Dateline Washington, Wednesday, April 22nd, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, Happy Earth Day, open your wallet. We'll talk with Brian Johnson, Federal Affairs Manager at Americans for Tax Reform here in Washington, about how the Obama Energy Plan could cost you thousands. $3,000 through the cap and trade program, most likely, but potentially $10,000 per household per year. We'll explain how that's the case and why the president is not telling us the full story. Also in this edition, Pakistan's government is abdicating to the extremists. So says Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. We'll get full analysis from David Gardenstein-Ross, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Plus, two raging battles in the culture war. We'll speak with Wendy Wright, president at Concerned Women for America, about the Food and Drug Administration's decision to legalize the morning after pill without a prescription to minors, even though the regular birth control pill still requires a prescription. We'll also get her reaction to the hatred and hostility being directed towards Miss California after simply saying she supported the traditional definition of marriage. And the pig book. We'll talk with Leslie Page of Citizens Against Government Waste about the worst offenders in congressional earmarks. All that, plus Wednesday's headlines are straight ahead. We begin with the real Obama energy plan, and we begin right now. My first guest in this edition is Brian Johnson, Federal Affairs Manager at Americans for Tax Reform. On this Earth Day 2009, Americans for Tax Reform has pointed out that if the Obama administration gets its way on energy policy reform, American families could be looking at as much as $10,000 a year in extra energy costs. And Brian, thanks so much for being with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
There's several different layers to this, but let's start with the program that most people are slowly becoming more familiar with, and that's the cap and trade system. Recap real quickly for our listeners what exactly that would do and how much that particular part of the Obama plan would add to the tab.
Well, now there's a lot of different jargon going around with cap and trade. What do you do with the credits? Do you sell the credits? I'm just going to break it down in a simple way. Currently, every time we manufacture or produce something in the U.S., we emit carbon. President Obama wants to put a carbon cap on the production of goods and services. That means if you have Company X in the U.S. that gets a brake order for 50,000 brake pads one month, but their carbon cap is only set for them to produce 40,000 brake pads that month, then they either have to buy credits for the government, or if they're already maxed out on credits, they simply can't produce that amount. So it impacts American competitiveness, and it directly impacts jobs. This cap-and-trade system will probably cost close to the tune of $645, $700 billion.
And so that's the cost for manufacturing companies, energy producers, and so forth.
Well, it's not just the cost for energy producers, because energy producers and companies aren't some amorphous blob. There are people working there, and they sell things to consumers. And they're going to have to absorb that cost somehow. And it's either going to be done by laying people off or passing it directly on to the consumers. And that's where it hits every American family.
Well, let's take both of those then. As far as directly passing along to the American consumer, where will that show up?
Well, what you're going to see is there's several different tax increases. One of the things that Obama wants to do is increase the tax on the oil that is produced in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, this will be an excise tax that every American consumer will have to pay, because the Gulf of Mexico currently produces 25% of the nation's oil and 15% of the nation's gas. So every time you buy oil or natural gas, you're going to be feeling that cost. You're also going to be feeling it in several other ways. Obama says he wants to close loopholes. Well, let me talk about one of those quote-unquote loopholes, and I'm making giant bunny ears here with my fingers. There's something called the Section 199 Manufacturer's Tax Deduction. Now, it sounds complicated. It's really not. Every company that engages in domestic manufacturing, meaning puts jobs in the U.S., if you're making toasters or if you're engaging in oil exploration, benefits from this tax deduction. It's a company write-off. Obama wants to shut this tax deduction down, but only for energy companies. He's specifically targeting energy companies, and if they're not allowed to write off their domestic manufacturing, guess where they're not going to produce anymore? Domestically. And they're going to shift jobs overseas. They're going to have to absorb that cost again, and it's going to get passed on to the consumers.
We're talking with Brian Johnson of Americans for Tax Reform. And Brian, your press release today talked about the $3,000 figure that most people are estimating for the typical American household. But you say that's just the tip of the iceberg. We could be looking at as much as $10,000. Where does the extra $7,000 factor in here?
Yeah, the extra $7,000 factors in from the revenue changers and loophole closers is what Obama's calling it in his budget. And it's actually, if people want to look it up themselves, they can go to omb.gov, that's the Office of Management and Budget, and they can click on the president's budget. And you're going to want to click on the itemized tables, and you can actually click on table S6. We're being as transparent as possible here at Americans for Tax Reform. These are the mandatory and receipt proposals. If you look at that, you see that what Obama is calling the revenue changers and loophole closers yield about $355 billion in revenue, and that revenue means taxation. And the total climate revenues yield $650 billion. You add that up, divide by the number of tax-paying families in the United States, and you get a little bit over $10,000 per family. We were being conservative on our estimates. This factors in the $3,100 that MIT came out with. So, you know, the numbers are there, and it's in his budget. And if all of these things pass, you know, Obama lied when he was campaigning, and he said, I'm only going to raise taxes on 5% of Americans making over $250,000 a year. Every time you turn on a light switch, every time you go to the store, every time you buy anything that was transported using energy, you're going to pay higher costs and higher taxes if he gets his way.
And you mentioned all these different stipulations and restrictions on industry, Brian. What kind of job losses could we be looking at here?
I've seen numbers as high as 600,000 in the first year because of this. We do know that one of the things that creates jobs is going out and searching for the energy that we have here. One of the things that Obama is doing is he is actually suspending the 5-year Outer Continental Shelf plan. If we actually sped up all of this stuff up, or actually if we engaged in our actual energy exploration, Representative Shattuck introduced the No-Cost Stimulus Act of 2009. If we go forward with our energy exploration and we sped up the leasing for oil and gas in the Outer Continental Shelf, this will create 1.2 million jobs and add $8 trillion directly to our GDP. If we opened up ANWR for energy production in an environmentally sensitive way, this creates 500,000 jobs and adds $1 trillion to GDP. If we prohibit the Endangered Species and Clean Air Act for being used as the basis for the cap and trade and other carbon regulation systems, this prevents a loss of $2 trillion GDP and prevents a loss of $800,000 jobs. It's not like we're shaking our heads wondering, what do we do about this? You know, Republicans are sitting there with great alternatives trying to combat this left-wing agenda from Obama and Nancy Reed, Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. And, you know, the public doesn't know about this a lot of the times.
Brian, in terms of the factor going forward here, those in favor of the cap and trade system and all that goes with it say that, you might lose some manufacturing jobs, but we're going to create these new green industries which bring green jobs with it. What kind of numbers could we be looking at there?
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you brought that up, actually. We didn't plan this at all, folks. The green jobs they're talking about created come under something called the Green Jobs Act. The Green Jobs Act was passed in 2007, and this act mandates, in order to receive federal funding for green jobs, you must partner with an organized labor union. Let me say that again. If you're a school and your school or university has just received federal funding to turn green, in order to get that money, you must work with a labor union. Where does that come in terms of job creation? Organized labor in the private sector today comprises about 9%. That's being generous. So you're actually keeping out 90% of the workforce for competing for these federally funded green jobs. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like Obama's creating work instead of jobs, and it happens to be work for people who largely supported him. So we're actually in favor of the Green Jobs Improvement Act introduced by Representative Klein that will fix this little anomaly that only allows 10% of the population to compete for green jobs.
Brian, a little while ago you talked about the Obama budget, and it was, of course, approved in its blueprint form by both the House and Senate not that long ago. The Senate, though, said that it did not want to fast-track the energy policy here. They wanted a full-fledged debate on this, even some of the Democrats agreeing that that's the best way to go. But just last Friday, the Environmental Protection Agency said it's going to regulate carbon dioxide. And we've had guests on the program this week saying that that means basically even if Congress doesn't do what Obama wants them to do, he's going to do it anyway.
Yeah, the EPA can do it using its regulatory power. There was just an EPA study produced today or yesterday analyzing the Waxman-Markey bill and some of the other, Democrat-introduced climate bills. And, you know, we're reviewing that and seeing. I mean, the EPA has done a lot with the regulatory agenda, and, you know, we're actually trying to get more information as of now. I know that Senator Boxer is conducting some sort of a panel. She was speaking this morning, and I had the privilege of listening to that, which was interesting to say the least. And, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of panels created. There's going to be a lot of time. And I think the Democrats are trying to figure out, number one, how to spin this so the American people will swallow it. And number two, you know, how to do it causing the least devastation to our economy. Because they know that this is going to destroy our economy. And some of these people have to get reelected. So they want to do it in the least destructive way possible. You know, heaven forbid you try not to destroy it at all.
About a minute left here with Brian Johnson of Americans for Tax Reform. And Brian, let me have you answer your own question. How do you expect them to package this? Your own boss in the press release, Grover Norquist, said that this is a tax increase no matter how you try and verbalize it. So what kind of rhetoric do you expect?
Well, you know, we really don't know at this point. We don't really know what to expect from the left. We hope that it will be something transparent. We hope that it will be up front and on the internet for at least 5 days so people can have a chance to read it before they vote on it. And, you know, we just want transparency and accountability that Obama preached when he was running for his campaign. I think that they're going to do something. We just want enough time for Republicans at least to read it, Democrats to read it, and for the American people to know exactly what's coming their way.
Real quickly before we let you go, Brian, obviously the Democrats have huge majorities in the House and Senate. Does that mean this is a done deal no matter how much opposition conservatives are able to generate?
No, you know, I'm going to be optimistic and say I hope not.
Oh, Brian, unfortunately our time is up. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great. Thank you very much.
Brian Johnson is Federal Affairs Manager at Americans for Tax Reform. This is Dateline Washington.